Our topic tonight is worthy or unworthy. As you find more and more of the love of Christ in your heart, and as you view it more and more, the communion service will become the most precious of all services. As we partake of Jesus and His marvelous grace for us, we love each other more and more, and you'll find that those of like precious faith become so precious that you cannot part from them. The family of God will be the family that goes on and on and on throughout all eternity. And our church families are just little parcels of the heavenly family that we'll all join when we gather in the sea of glass. We need to begin to understand what it's like to be brethren and sisters, a term we have forgotten, or terms we've forgotten a long time ago. But as Christ comes into our hearts and divinity and humanity are combined, and we see the same evidences in others, they become so precious to us, because it's the same Jesus, and we're all united in that one body. I assured you this morning that I would help those who feel unworthy to recognize they ought to be here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 26 to 29, is found some of the words concerning this service. 1 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. These few verses have kept thousands away from communion services for many, many years. And in my estimation, it's all because we do not understand them. And that's a tragedy, I believe. We think that this is a service reserved for only the very finest Christians who give no evidence of sin of any kind in their lives. If we have any sin, we cannot be here. That's unworthily, and that's damnation, according to verse 29. We don't want that. And so we have sent ourselves, believing that we would bring additional condemnation by attending this service. Now, this is such a misunderstanding. I wish we didn't have to talk about it, but we do. Who was it that Jesus invited the night of that first Lord's Supper? The Bible tells us very plainly that they were still disputing about who would have the highest place in the kingdom. That was not exactly humility. And yet they're there to partake of the ordinance of humility. There was Peter, who would soon deny his Lord with cursing. There was Thomas, almost totally unbelieving. And these were all invited there, and even Judas, as you know. Now, if worthy means sinless, how would you rate Peter, Thomas, and all of them? Could they possibly partake worthily unless they were sinless? And they were not sinless. They were very sinful. And yet the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper with that group of people. And you must look at these folk honestly. You see, salvation and all of heaven's blessings are a gift of grace, favor to the unworthy, to the undeserving. And the communion service is part of that favor. It's an ordinance of grace, not of merit. And it's for sinners to partake in, not for those who are sinless, necessarily. What does it mean to eat and drink unworthily? Why did Paul write this? What's it all about? Since it doesn't mean sinless, what does it mean? And why does he say they bring a curse upon themselves, so to speak? Notice the theme of the service in verse 26. As oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. In this service there is a demonstration, a recalling again of those events concerning the Lord's death. And he said, this do in remembrance of me. So as we break the bread, and by the way, you break the bread too, do you know? With your teeth. The elders break the bread with their hands. We pour out the wine as we all drink of it. The symbolism is great in this service. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Now, it's not only remembering that he died. It's remembering for whom he died. And Romans makes that so plain in chapter 5, verse 8. While yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so, again, I must remember that not just he died. He died for me, a sinner. And it must be a personalized, individualized recalling of this. Secondly, I must remember for what he died. And the Bible makes that plain in 1 Corinthians 15:3, that Christ died for our sins. He died for me, and he died for my sins. Therefore, when you partake of this service, do you remember? Do you see not only that he died, but he died for you and for your sins? Do you perceive and remember that that's why he died and that's for whom he died and for what he died? Do you recall that he agonized for you? That he bled for you? That he suffered? That he was beaten for you? Do these thoughts enter your mind? Or is it just a ceremony that we attend because it's required of us? As you break the bread along with us, do you ask yourself, why am I breaking his body and pouring out his blood? Or do I just think about other thoughts? As you do these things and recall that it was for your sins and for you as a sinner, and as I recall the same things for me, then we're remembering our place, our part in the Lord's death, that I, by my sins, by my life, have required this, have caused this. It was for me. If you see this as you partake, if you perceive that it is your sin, and you as an individual, you partake worthily. If you do not perceive this, you partake unworthily. And that's not my interpretation. The Bible teaches that so clearly. Verse 29 of chapter 11. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. He doesn't perceive the Lord's body, the suffering, the agony, why he died, for whom and for what. He doesn't see this. He doesn't apply the precious blood, all the agony. He died for the sins of the world. Generalize. And get it off of us. That's not what it's about. There must be a personal application to me as I partake and as I break the bread and pour out the wine. These emblems bring to focus in my mind that it was for me. It's so easy for us, you see, to feel that I'm qualified. If we have a strong will, if we're concerned only about external behavior, if we're not concerned about our hearts, if we forget that often we're severe with other people, if we justify this by our brightness or by our virtue, our office or seniority or something else, then we eat unworthily, not recognizing that he died for me no matter how good I might seem to myself, that his death was required. We assume too much sometimes. Those who come and sit here or stay away and say, I cannot partake. I'm too sinful. Most likely they would partake worthily. Because they'd recognize quickly that it was for them that Jesus died. And they could not have any hope except for his death. But some of us have so much confidence in ourselves that we almost come in a perfunctory manner, you know, and just sit here, and in some kind of ecstasy or euphoria, we partake, not realizing that we have caused this remembrance, this recalling again that he died for us. If you'd partake worthily today, you must ask the question the disciples asked of themselves. As Jesus said, one of you shall betray me. Around the circle they went, asking, Lord, is it I? It's not conceivable that I could be so corrupt, so vile, as to betray the one I profess to love with all my heart. How can it be? But round the circle they went, Lord, is it I? The Desire of Ages tells us that even Judas was obvious by the absence of asking the question, the neglect. And so he even said, Lord, is it I? And Jesus said, Thou hast said. As you sit here, and as I stand here, it's not enough to know that we're here, that this is the right thing to do. That somehow I must discern the Lord's presence and what He's done for me. And I must discern what I am in relationship to Him. And I must ask myself, Lord, is it I? And the truth should come home to my heart and to your heart. You have said, we have betrayed Him, haven't we? By our sins we've caused all this agony, all this heartache, all this suffering. And while we're yet enemies, He did that for us because He loved us so much. And as I partake with you tonight, I must not lock Him out. But as we discussed this morning, I must look at Him on the cross and see Him not only in the symbols, but in my mind's eye, see Jesus there for me. And you must see Him for yourself. There's a special quality found in the Lord's Supper. Very special. As you perceive this individualized service, one of the few services we have that's individualized, the Lord will come so close to you. For literally, as you partake of Him, internalizing these emblems, if your mind dwells correctly on these thoughts, the Lord comes into your mind. He comes into your heart. And this sense of cleansing from the blood of Jesus and the death of Christ becomes a reality. He brings purity. He brings cleansing. He brings forgiveness. He brings hope. He brings peace. And as you leave the Lord's house, you walk with that joyful, calm assurance. The Lord has forgiven me. I'm a child of the King. He is mine and I am His. We've been together tonight and He'll never forsake me. May the Lord tonight, by His sacred presence, manifest Himself to you and to me. And may you literally sit here and meditate, comprehending all the meaning of Lord, is it I? And as we see ourselves in relationship to the cross, may we know for sure that Christ has died for our sins and they're all taken away. Let us pray. Loving Father, the sweetest fellowship in all the earth is to walk and talk with Jesus, to abide with Him, to commune with Him, to come into union with Him. He has come down that He might be one with us. May our hearts be open to fully receive Him. And tonight, as our minds go back and recall the precious gift on Calvary, all the suffering that we might be free, that we might be forgiven, that we might be received, that we might be sons and daughters of God, help us to comprehend these things. Grace this service by Thy presence and grant us faith to perceive that the Lord is here where He's promised to be. And may we not only come into sweet fellowship with the Lord, but may we be drawn to one another closer and closer until that precious day we can be with Jesus and never part again. Brothers and sisters, all of that glorious family of our Heavenly Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.